had people tell me so many times, they say, well, you know, you Christians, you can't do this and you can't do that. And, you know, it's like, oh, you're so bound. I'm free. I can do anything I want to do. But they don't understand that the power of sin just grasps them and holds them like in a vice. And when Jesus breaks those chains of sin, you go, whoa, now I am free. I like the way, I think it was D.L. Moody who once said, I drink all the liquor I want to drink. I smoke all the cigarettes I want to smoke. And he says, truth of the matter is, I don't want to do any of it. But I'm free not to do it. How many tonight are in that bondage? Saying, why do I smoke these things? Why do I can't stop? How many tonight will drink the alcohol and say, why does this grip me so? Why can't I stop? Those that are immoral and looking at pornography or on drugs, saying, why can't I break the shackles of sin? You can't, but the truth shall make you free tonight. That's what Jesus said. He breaks those shackles of sin. Oh, thank God I'm free. I'm free. I'm free. Thank God I'm free. I love that song. Thank God I am free. We have been thinking this week. You remember our theme this week is just a closer walk with Jesus. Just getting a little closer to the Lord. We love the Lord. We do. That's why you're here tonight. But we want to love Him more. You walk close to God. I know you do. But we want to walk a little closer. I was reading today from 1 Kings chapter 19 about this verse. You'll recognize it, I'm sure. It says, He said, God said, go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by. And a great and strong wind rent the mountains and brake in pieces the rocks before the Lord. Can you imagine a wind that strong tear a mountain apart and break rocks? But the Bible says, but the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. That's how God spoke. I don't want to have to wait till God has to shout at me to get my attention. But if we're going to listen to a still, small voice, we're going to have to be close to that one. Now, my wife's got a very soft voice. And if I want to hear what she has to say, I have to get closer to her. And if I hear that still, small voice of the Lord, I will need to get closer to Him tonight. So that's why we sing our prayer tonight. Just a closer walk with Thee. Just a closer walk with Thee. Grant that Jesus is my plea. Daily walking close to Thee, let it be, dear Lord, let it be. Let's pray together, Father, tonight. Each and every night, we have sung this prayer to You. And Lord, it's not just pretty words and nice music. But truly is a desire of our heart tonight. Lord, without You, we can do nothing. And how we desire to hear Your still, small voice talking to our soul tonight. I guess, Lord, You can shout through the wind. You can move through the earthquake. You can devastate with the fire. But tonight I ask that the sweetness of the Holy Ghost would speak to our hearts. I pray tonight we would be so close to You that we would hear your voice and obey your word. Grant it, Lord. Grant it, please. Just a closer walk with thee. Grant that Jesus is my plea. Daily walking close to thee. Let it be, dear Lord, let it be. Today, my wife and I were going out. Thank you, honey. My wife and I were going out, and she was kind of singing under her breath just a little bit. I said, honey, what are you singing? And she had stopped and think. She says, I'll be satisfied as long. Oh, yeah, let me walk close to that. Anybody find themselves doing that during the week or during the day today? You know, just say, yeah, you just get, that's our prayer, a close to walk to. I'm going to preach tonight on the subject of, does God always give a second chance? Does God always give a second chance? I heard a humorous story about the West Virginia football team, and the star football player failed math and couldn't play in the big game. And everybody was upset. They know they needed him. They know they needed him. And so the team so arranged and the school so arranged a quick math test on the field, over the loudspeakers, that if he can just answer a few simple math questions, they pass him and he could play in the big game. So the crowd hushed down, and the coach went up to him, and the math teacher went up to him and said, how much is 4 times 4? He goes, 4. "16. And the crowd starts shouting, give him another chance. Give him another chance. And I wonder tonight, how many chances have God given us? The answer to this question is one of those questions that's a yes and no answer. Yes and no. For example, in Genesis chapter 3, when God placed man in the Garden of Eden, God gave him paradise. God says you could freely do all that you want to do. There was no sickness. There was no pain. There were no thistles. Bees didn't sting and skunks didn't stink. It was just paradise. But they made a choice. They made a choice to disobey God. Do you realize how many people have messed up their life today because of choices? They made the wrong choice. They chose to follow perhaps the philosophy of Hollywood or the rappers or the philosophy of today, and they had chosen to go down the wrong way. Adam and Eve made a wrong choice that not only affected them, but affected you and me down to this very present day. Have you ever, why all the hatred in the world? Why all the prejudice in the world? Why all the sin, all the evil, and all the violence in the world? And go right back to the beginning when man chose not to obey God. And you kick God out, the devil will move in. And so he did. Then the Bible says they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. God's coming, Eve. Oh, we did wrong! And they thought they could hide on God. Folks, you can never go where God is tonight. David said, whither shall I flee from thy spirit? He said, even if I make my bed in hell, thou art there. You can never run away from the presence of God. He is everywhere tonight. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? God knew where they were. It wasn't that God didn't know where they were, but he wanted them to acknowledge that they were running away from God. I had a man tell me on an airplane one time, and I presented to him the gospel of Christ. I said, without Christ, you're going to die and go to hell. I said, yes, that's exactly what I want. I want to die, and I want to go to hell. I said, sir, why? He said, well, first of all, to get away from gospel preachers like you, and to get away from God. I said, sir, it is very true. There will be no gospel preachers who are saved by grace in hell, giving you invitation and pleading with your soul to turn over to Jesus. But you'll never escape the presence of the Almighty. Adam and Eve thought they could run from God. They were banished from the garden. God put an angel with a flaming sword so they couldn't go back in. They never got a second chance at paradise. It was lost. It was gone. God didn't say, okay, Adam and Eve, all right, let's try this again. This time, go back and do better. And no, it was gone. And it was gone forever. There was no second chance. Now, God did, thank God, make coats for them and forgiveness and the shedding of blood of that innocent animal for the sins of Adam and Eve. But they lost paradise. They lost innocence. They lost a life without pain, a life without suffering. They can never go back to paradise. No second chance. Why did God put the angel with the flaming sword at the gate so they couldn't go back in? Because there was a tree in the garden called the Tree of Life. And had they eaten of that tree in a sinful state, it would have been forever that way. And God in his mercy and in his grace said, you'll not enter into paradise again. I could think in the New Testament of Ananias and Sapphira. There was the church, it was growing, it was flourishing. Christians were loving each other and helping each other. And people had some possession of land and they sold their land and they were bringing the money to distribute to each other there in the church. They said, we better do this too. Everybody else is doing it. And they sold a piece of property. And they told the apostles, this is all the money we got from the property, and we want to give it. But they were lying. They held back some of it. And God exposed it. And Peter said, why have you sinned and lying to the Holy Ghost and God? They never got a second chance. They were taken and they were killed. They didn't get a second chance. They didn't say, okay, you bring the rest of it and we'll call it square and everything will be fine. No, it was gone. The opportunity was passed and they never got a second chance. That ever happened to you? Have you ever messed up wishing you can go back and undo some things in life? Have you ever thought, I'd like to go back, if I could only take back a day, if I could only take back an hour, oh, I would have done something differently. But there are opportunities that are gone and gone forever. But on the yes side, I can stop and think of Jonah in the scriptures. God says, Jonah, go down to Nineveh, that great city in wickedness, and preach against it. Jonah didn't want to do what God told him to do. And Jonah said, no. And God says, oh. And Jonah had woe. Right there, 3 days and three nights at Fish College. Oh, Whale Seminary, if you want to call it that. Now, folks, there's not a whole lot you can do when you are in the belly of a whale. You stop and think about it. I mean, it had to be dark. So, slimy. Fish all around you. Maybe nipping at you here. And couldn't smell good at all. Took him 3 days before he got right with God. You would think after a few minutes, all right, God, that's it. I repent. I'm sorry. But no, he's so stubborn in his sin. 3 days and three nights there. Until finally, he surrendered to God and got a second chance. And he went back to Nineveh and he preached. And the entire city was saved. I can stop and think of David in the Bible. We'll get to another text of scripture here. I'm just leading up to something here tonight. I can think of David. David was called a man after God's own heart. But one day when he had too much time on his hand, he looked out the window. And there his eyes fell upon a young lady he should not have been looking at. She also had no right to be up on the rooftop bathing. She's as equally sinful as... Yeah, we can condemn men with lustful hearts, but I'm going to tell you something, ladies. Many, many a woman is guilty before God for exposing themselves in such a ludicrous way. Amen. See, that's why the Bible says that women are to adorn themselves with modest apparel. At the top, down the bottom, without a long slit up the side. And he looked out, and he looked at her, and he lusted for her. She was already married to another man, but he was the king. Who's going to oppose the king? And so he took her and found that she was with child. Now he has to cover his sin. Her husband was out in battle, and he sent for her husband to come back and said, go be with your wife. So he cover up so it looked like it was him that conceived with his wife. And after he was there, he wouldn't do it, but David didn't know that. And he sent him back out to the front lines again and said, you put him right in the front of the battle. Make sure he dies. And he did. David must have got word, and David must have thought, oh, okay, I covered my sin. This is good. Everybody's going to think that Bathsheba's baby belongs to Uriah there, and I covered my sin. You never cover your sin. The Bible says, behold, your sin will find you out tonight. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. But I said, God is not mocked tonight. And you sow the seed of sin, you will reap the harvest of sin. And you will reap more than what you sow. Any farmer will tell you, you can go out there and take a kernel of corn, put it in the ground, and up comes a corn stalk. And you don't just get one kernel back, you get a stalk that has 2 or 3 years on it. And each year has a good number of kernels within. That's what sin does. It multiplies itself in your life. But then David's sin found him out. And he wept. And he wrote the 51st Psalm. Purge me with hyssop that I should be clean. Against thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. And God gave him another chance. That no matter what sin was there, God forgave. We already mentioned Peter this week. I'll not go back over his testimony, but just in passing, denied Christ 3 times, went out, wept bitterly. But God wasn't done with him yet. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, the Holy Ghost filled and anointed them. And that weeping preacher turned out to be a preaching machine that day. And he preached and 3,000 people got saved, baptized, joined the church, and continued on. From weeper to preacher. Thank God, the Bible says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now I realize tonight, I'm no big highfalutin preacher. We were talking today, and Preacher and I were talking a little bit today about how we sometimes have fancy titles for our messages and everything. And I suppose if I wanted to impress you tonight, I could stand here tonight and say, tonight's discourse will be on the eschatological implications of the Abrahamic covenant and ecclesiastical dispensation. Oh, I could say Jesus is coming again. And I like to keep it plain, and I like to keep it simple. Oh, preacher, you too. I want to go down deep in the Word of God. That's why you got a pastor. I want to go down deep into the Scripture. I one time went to a Bible conference. I was pastor at the time. She went to a Bible conference. Oh, preacher, he was a marvelous Bible. We went deep in the Scripture. He brought us deep into the Scripture. I said, well, what did you learn? Oh, preacher, it was deep. It was deep. It was really deep. I said, well, what did you learn that was so deep? Oh, preacher, I've never been so deep in the Word of God in my life. It was so deep, she never came up. You guess some people go down deep, stay down long, and come up dry. You know, let's keep it simple tonight by way of illustration of God giving another chance. Because tonight, I believe that in many respects, that perhaps tonight there's just one person that might need this message tonight. Sometime a preacher preaches to the multitude like Peter did on the day of Pentecost, but sometime God calls Philip to go to one out in the desert. And maybe there's a one here tonight, and this is for you. Luke chapter 13. I have several messages on the fig tree, but tonight we're going to use it not as a message, but as a illustration of God giving another chance. Luke chapter 13 and verse 6. And he spake also this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came and sought fruit thereon and found none. He said unto the dresser of the vineyard, behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree and find none. Cut it down. Why cumbereth it the ground? There was a man who said, I planted a fig tree. I want to get figs. And 3 years I come and there's no figs on this tree. And there it is sitting in the ground, soaking up the nutrients and doing nothing. Just cut it down. Cut it down. I know how he felt. I had a peach tree that I planted one time and made a big thing with it with our boys. It was a gift from a neighbor when we moved into our home. We planted it, a little ceremony-like, planting this peach tree. Mama's going to make peach pie and peach cobbler, and we're going to have fresh peaches to eat. Year after year after year, no peaches. 1 year, it got a little blossom. I never saw that before. And then I saw a little peach begin to form. And well, I got excited. I ever got, but we're going to get one peach. I don't know what we're going to do with it, but we're going to get at least one peach in the peach tree. And I went out one day and it shriveled up and fell down. I said, that's it. I went to the garage, got the axe, and chopped the thing down. I know how he felt. 3 years I come seeking figs on this fig tree, and I don't find any. Verse 8, and he, that is the dresser of the vineyard, answering, said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I dig about it and dung it. And if it bear fruit, well, and if not, then after that thou shalt cut it down. It got another chance. It got another chance. Here the owner says, cut it down. Oh, wait. There was an intercessor that came. There was somebody, a go-between that says, wait a minute, sir, wait a minute. Look, let's give it another chance. Let's give it another year. I'm going to dig it around it, take out all the rocks or the weeds. I'm going to soften up the soil, and I'm going to fertilize it, and let's see what it does next year. This isn't the only time Jesus talked about a fig tree. For we could look at another passage of Scripture tonight. Here tonight, and we can see that the Lord in Mark chapter 11, the Lord spoke of another fig tree. In verse 12, and on the morrow, when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry. And seeing a fig tree far off, having leaves, he came happily he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves. For the times of figs was not yet. And Jesus answered and said unto it, no man eat of thee hereafter forever. And his disciples heard it. Now go down to verse 20. It's the next day, the next morning. And in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. Peter, calling to remembrance, said unto Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursedest is withered away. Two fig trees. I don't know if they were related to each other, but they had the same problem. They had no fruit. One was given another chance. The other dried up and withered away. Let me ask you, what is your life producing? Stop and think right now. Go over the years of your life. What is your life producing for God? See, the Lord came and he's looking for figs. It had leaves, looked pretty. If the Lord wanted shade, that tree would have been great. If the Lord wanted beauty, that tree would have sufficed. But the Lord wasn't looking for that. He was looking for fruit. That's what he's looking for in your life. What is your life producing? What has your life produced for God? That's the only thing that's going to matter in eternity. Cursed, dried up, nothing left. Some years ago, I was in the mall and walked by a store window. They had a mannequin in the window with a tie that I kind of liked. I asked the man, I said, "Hey, I wanted that tie that's in the window." He says, "Okay." But he came back in the back room and he said, "We don't have any more." I said, "I'll take the one from the guy in the window." We didn't mess it up. He's just sitting there in the window. He said, "I can't sell that to you." I said, "Why not?" He said, "It's for display purposes only." And I wonder if our churches, we have people for display purposes only. Just to show. Well, what is the Lord looking for? Fruit. Production from our life. Two fig trees. One cursed. The other was given another chance. I'm not sure there's how many would be here tonight that could raise their hand and say, "I was saved the very first time I heard the gospel." There could be. And I wonder, is there anybody like that? The very first time you heard the gospel, you got saved. God bless you, sister. Just a few of us. What about the rest of us? God give you another chance? You said, "Well, I'm not so sure. I don't know if I believe all that Bible stuff. I'm not so sure about this heaven and this hell stuff and God and the devil stuff." But God gave you another chance, didn't he? God gave you another opportunity. Until the Spirit of God, like that dresser, dug around your heart, made it soft, made it tender, made it pliable, and took out the weeds and the rocks and put in the love and the grace and compassion of God. Until that moment came when you said, "God, you're right, and I'm wrong, and I need to be saved. And I believe Jesus died for me on the cross." And you were saved. God gave you another chance. Tonight may be your chance. Wherever you are tonight, maybe your last chance to receive Christ as your personal Savior. For others, God gives a chance in serving Him and working for Him. But sometimes we just let those chances go by. Now, tonight, as we look at our life and what we are producing and what we have, tonight, can we say, "God, I want to produce fruit for you in my life"? Was there somebody you meant to witness to but didn't? Would you ask God tonight for another chance? Is there someone that you should have given a gospel tract to but didn't? Would you ask God to give you another chance? What I'm going to tell you, I'm going to finish up the message in just a few minutes, I'm not very proud of. I'm embarrassed and ashamed, but it's the truth. I grew up with a friend called Richie. We were really good friends. He didn't have a mom and dad. He was being raised by his uncle. He spent a lot of time at my house. My folks kind of adopted him, you know, so he spent more time there than he did at his uncle's house. Long about that time, I had gotten saved. I didn't know a whole lot, but I knew that Christians were to tell other people how to be saved. One night, in our upstairs bedroom, we were in bed late at night, and Richie said, "Man, my life's a mess." I'm going to die and go to hell, he said. I said, you go to church, you know anything about this heaven stuff? Talk about an opening. You talk about an opportunity. I'll never forget those words, and God forgive me. I said, Richie, it's late. Let's go to sleep. And he did. He never mentioned it again. One day he wasn't in school. Thought that was strange. Called his uncle's house, and his uncle told me, he says, oh, you didn't know? I said, know what? He said, he went out and joined the Marines. I said, what? Yeah, he quit school, joined the Marines. I'll be heading for Vietnam. Vietnam? Front lines? In the Marines? And all of a sudden, I felt like I had blood on my hands. I got his address, and I began writing him letters and stuffing the envelopes with tracts and everything. He never once responded back. When we started our church in my hometown in 1970, I was driving down the road, and all of a sudden, a police car, flashing lights and woo, 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 pulled me over. He pulled me over. It was Richie. He had served his time in Vietnam, come back and joined the local police department. God, you spared him. Yes, God, thank you. He's not, now I'm going to have another chip. I said, hey, Richie, do me two favors. He said, what's that? Turn off the lights. People know I'm a preacher in town. I said, second, I said, Richie, do you remember a long time ago in that upstairs bedroom? We were near my house. You see that room up there in the dorm? I said, that right there. Do you remember you asked me about God? And you asked me about Jesus and how about heaven? He says, that was a long time ago. I don't have time now. I got to go. I knew where he lived in town. We had vacation Bible school. I thought, let our bus go pick up his kids for vacation Bible school. And maybe by vacation Bible school, we can get into that. He wouldn't let his children come to vacation Bible school. Until this very day, I have not been able to tell him the answer to his question. God won't let me forget that. I had the opportunity. And I'm still asking God for another chance. Whether he will give it or not, I don't know. But some of you are just like me tonight. You've been meaning to talk to somebody about Jesus. Just never got around to it. And maybe you feel like the door has been shut. But tonight, can I invite you to come to an altar and say, God, give me another chance. Some of you made a promise to God, and you haven't kept it. You made a vow to God, and you forgot about it. You said, God, if you just help me here, I promise you I'm going to do that. And God kept his end, but you didn't keep your end. Ask God for another chance to make it right tonight. If you're here tonight, and you have no assurance of salvation of your soul, you know one thing. You know you're going to die someday. There's no question about that. Only a fool would say he's not going to die. Drive by any cemetery and look at the tombstones just like fingers pointing to the sky saying, I'm dead, and there's a God in heaven. And there is a place called hell. You're going to die someday. People of all ages die. Some of you young people might say, oh, I'm just a young person. I'll take you to a cemetery and I'll guarantee you I'll find somebody buried there your age. For death is no respecter of persons. God's giving you a chance tonight. The devil's going to say, not for you, not for you. No, you don't need that. Another time, another time, another time. And all the devil has to do to get your soul in hell is get you to wait one day too long. One day too late, he has you forever. That's why the Bible says, my spirit shall not always strive with man. You have to come while God calls you. And tonight, God wants to give you another chance. Honey, please. What is it tonight that you would ask God for another opportunity? Maybe a loved one to witness to them, give them a track to call. Maybe there's somebody you need to forgive tonight. You've harbored bitterness in your heart, anger. Maybe you blame them for all your problems and all your troubles. But tonight, let God give you another chance of forgiveness, to forgive as Christ forgave you tonight. I'm going to ask you tonight just to bow your head and close your eyes for a moment. We have invitations different ways. And tonight we're going to have it this way. Can you honestly say tonight, preacher, I know I'm going to heaven when I die?